Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Kiddushin, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And as I mentioned in the previous podcast, this is the section where most of the Rishonim take up their commentary on the Masechet, where we analyze the rhetoric of the Mishnah. The Mishnah did an enumeration. It presented an enumeration before giving us a list. It said there are three ways in which a woman is acquired, two in which she's freed, etc. And of course, anybody can count Kesef Shtar and Bia, there's three. So why did it list an enumeration? The assumption of the Gemara regarding the rhetoric of the Mishnah is that an enumeration is there to block out any other viable candidates for inclusion in the list. So Minyan Adoration of the Mute, Minyan the Seif of the Mute. Why? What is the Minyan of the first half, Aisha Niknate, there to exclude? And what is the Minyan of the second half, Konat Atzma, there to exclude? Minyan Adoration of the Mute Chuppah. The fact that three is three and not four ways is to exclude chuppah, and we're going to see this in a couple podcasts, that Rav Huna maintained that chuppah actually does work for kiddushin as a, from Kavachomer. Rav Huna damar chuppah kon mechavachomer mute mai. Now this is something of an odd question, so it needs a little bit of analysis. Since the Mishnah says, ha'isha niknet b'shalosh drachim, and Rav Huna says, well, there's really four. It's kind of awkward to ask. So what, according to him, what is the counting eliminating? Obviously, he's not taking the counting in the same way. But actually, it works quite well, because Rav Huna says there are three ways, fundamental ways in which a woman is niknet. And of course, anything that you could, infer or deduce from it logically via Kal Vachomer would be included in those three. So the Cheshbon is still there to cut something out. Limute Ma, Limute Chalipin. It's there to cut out Kinyan Chalipin. And why would we think Chalipin would work for Isha to pick up an item, a Kinyan Sudar, and have her pick it up and then give it back to you? Since in one of our derivations, the one that we saw in Daf Bet Amud Aleph, of Kinyan Kesef for Kiddushin is learned from Kicha Kicha from Stei Ephron. In other words, it starts with the purchase of real estate. Therefore, I would say, Masadem, Kanyan Chalipin, Avishanam, Kanyan Chalipin. Just like a field can be bought with Chalipin, so a Kinyan Isha could happen with Chalipin. So Kamash Malan, therefore, the three blocks that. Ve'im Achinami, why doesn't Chalipin work? The answer is Chalipin Itanu Bachar Meshava Pruta, Isha Bachar Meshava Pruta, Lo Mekanya, or Lo Mekanya Nafsha. And there's a difference there in the Girsot, and that's a difference in the way Tosfot reads it. Take a look at Tosfot at the bottom of the page, as opposed to the approach of the Rashba. But simple reading is as follows. Chalipin can be done with something that's worth less than a Shavapruta, and a woman will not be acquired for less than a Shavapruta. If that is because less than a Shavapruta already does not have a Din Kesef, it just becomes a purely symbolic Kinyan, or it's because no woman would accept something which doesn't have any monetary value. Those are two different ways of looking at it, and may indeed be dependent on whether we read the word nafsha here or not. Minyana de seifa l'mute mai. What is the minyana de seifa? Konat asma v'shtei rachim there to exclude them. Ute chalitza. To block out chalitza. Why sal kadai d'chamenetet b'kabachom yivama? I might think that chalitza should work to divorce, and I would learn it from a kabachomer from Isha. As follows, Ma Yevama sheni yotze beget, yotze bechalitza. Yevama cannot be divorced with a get, but she is separated with chalitza, which proves you that chalitza is more powerful than get. It works where get doesn't work. So zu she yotze beget, and din she yotze bechalitza. So a woman who can live with a get certainly should be able to separate with chalitza. Kamash Palan. Therefore, the Mishnah says there's only two ways: get and mita tabal. Why doesn't chalitza work? The answer is Amar Kras, Sefer Kritut, as we just saw in Masachet Gittin, through the last 3 months of our study, the Torah says he has to write a writ of separation, meaning Sefer Korta ve'in davar acher korta. Only a writ can separate and nothing else, save, of course, for the death of the husband. Now, the Mishnah said Bekesef. The Gemara asks a question, which it seemed to have asked that back on Daf Bet Amud Aleph, but we keep in mind that that was a later sugya, Sfurai sugya, Minale. How do we know that Kesef works? V'tu, and there's an added question. Hadit-nan, the Mishnah in Ketubot says, Ha'avzakav v'tobi k'dushah b'kesef v'shtar v'biyah. A father can be Mekadesh his daughter and gain the profits of it. To be Mekadesh or b'kesef v'shtar v'biyah. So if it's kesef, the money goes to the father. Menal mekan mekesef. Again, the question is, how do we know kesef works? That's our question. The kesef davuahu. How do we know that the kesef goes to the father? So I'm Yehuda Rav. Rav says this is the source, and it will be our source, but we're going to have to go around it one way and then go around it the other way. The Amar Krav Yatzachinam in kesef. An Amma Ivriya, a girl who is sold into servitude, when she reaches age, if she is not married to the master or to his son, then she leaves and ein kesef, meaning the master gets no reparations for her leaving. Meaning, ein kesef la'adon zeh, it's only in the case of leaving a master that the one who she is leaving, there's no transfer of money. Aval yesh kesef la'adon acher. But there is another situation where a girl leaves the domain of a man, and there is money given to him, and that is the father with kiddushin. Maniu av. So ve'ema ledida. So, fine, maybe kesef works, but maybe the money goes to her. This is a na'ara. So, hachi ashta, let's think about it. Avi ha-mekabel kiddushia, her father can decide who she's going to marry. Tichtivet biti natati le'isha zeh. This is in the sugi of Motzi Shemra. The father comes and declares, I gave my daughter to this man. So, you see, it's the father's choice and the father's prerogative. V'ishakal kaspa, so it doesn't make sense that she should take the money. So, ve'iman, I mean, the ktana to late v'yad, the kabel kiddushin. Maybe this is only true about a ktana. In the case in Motzi Shemra, we have to posit that the girl was betrothed when she was a ktana, but now that she's a nara and it's time to get married, the husband is saying that she was not a betula. So perhaps this ruling is only true by the ktana, who doesn't have the financial power or independence to make a kinyan. But a nara who does have a yad, let her accept kiddushin, let her keep the money. Why does the father keep it? The answer is Amar Kra bin Ureha Beit Avia. Now, an underlying assumption about this entire sugya is that the norm is that a girl is mitkadeshet when she's a na'ara. And anthropologically, that of course was the case throughout most of the ancient world. That's when girls got betrothed and married during that period. So that's the default that we're talking about. Now, Amar Krab in Ureha Beit Aviha, in the end, at the conclusion of the sugya of Nidarim, which we studied in Masachet Nidarim, it says these are the laws that affect a relationship between a man and his daughter when she is a na'ara b'veit avia. I mean, the wording leads us to the conclusion that kol shivach n'urim le'avia, any benefits that accrue to her when she's a na'ara go to her father. So therefore, if she's mitkadeshet, that money goes to her father. No, if that's the case, then I now have a general statement that any benefit accruing to the daughter when she's a na'ara goes to the father. So v'alahad amarav hun amarav, so Rav, the same authority who gave us the source, said, "Minayin shemase abat lav. How do I know that what a daughter earns goes to her father?" Shenemar v'chimkor ishet bitol le'ama. At the beginning of the parsha of Amma Ivriya, it says, "If a man sells his daughter to be an ama," and those two are juxtaposed. Ma ama maseh adal rabba. Just like an ama, her wages go to her master. After all, she's a slave. Afban ama maseh adal avia. So the same thing: a daughter, her wages go to her father. Now, why do I need this pasuk? Typically, Minarabetavia is such a strong and universal ruling that tells us that any benefit that accrues to her as a Nara goes to her father. Then why does Rav need another pasuk to tell me that the wages of a daughter go to her father? Learn it from there. The answer is, Elo Hafarin Doim Hurichtiv. Minarabetavia is talking about Hafarin Doim, not talking about other things. So you can no longer say that it's teaching us that all benefits of a Nara, which brings us back to square one, how do we know that Kidushe Nara go to the father? So Hachanam Hafarin Doim Hurichtiv, so we have the problem here. And if you think maybe you can learn it from Hafarin Doim, in other words, the Pasuk is local, but maybe it can be a model. The answer is Mamona Misor Liofinan. We can't learn the laws that affect financial relationships from ritual relationships. Ritual relationships of Hafarat and Darim, and the father's ability to repudiate the Darim of his daughter cannot be a model for something which is in the financial side of things. But you could learn it perhaps from Knas, the fact that if a man rapes a girl, he pays the Knas to her father, and she's a Na'arat. The answer is Mamonami Knasal Yalfin. The world of Knas, of fines, 50 shkalim, 30 of an evet, etc., is a different world than Mamon. It operates differently. If a person admits to his debt, he's exempt, etc., as opposed to Odat Baldin. So the two really don't intersect at all, and you can't infer one from the other. Remember when we have this in the Mishnah, the fourth parak of Ketubot, when a man rapes a girl, he not only has to pay the Knas, he also has to pay regular Nezek for Chabala. And that's Mamon. And the fact that that money goes to the father should teach us that, again, all the benefits that going to the Nahara go to the father. The answer is, Shani Bosh Tavkam Davua Shaykh Begavayu. That's different because the father is directly affected by that. The girl has now been shamed, the girl is now, and therefore his own ability to marry her off has been lessened. So of course the money comes to him. But that doesn't tell us about Kiddushin. Ella, so we have to go back and say we're accepting Rav's pasuk v'yatzachinam in kasef, but we're going to read it differently. Mistamber dechikam imayit yitzia dechavata kamimayit. What the Torah is saying v'yatzachinam in kasef, and we understand that as a mute. In the case of an ama ivriya leaving her master, in that case there's no money that goes to the master. But in a parallel exiting, there is money that goes to the master. And what's that? That's when a na'ara goes to get married, and the money goes to the master, meaning the father. But the two are not analogous, because hatam nafkal mishut adon legamri. When a girl leaves the reshut of her master, a slave, she's totally separated from it. But when a father's mekadesh his daughter, she's still living at home. Until there's Mesira Lechupah, he's living in his house. If he's a Yisrael and she married and she's betrothed to a kohen, she can't eat truma for that reason. So the answer is, that she is out of the father's domain, vis-a-vis Afat Nedarim, as we learned in the beginning of the 10th parak of Masechet Nedarim. When a girl, a maiden is betrothed, the Na'ara is betrothed, her father can no longer, unilaterally and solely repudiate her in Darim, the fiancé has to participate. Now, if that's the case, then Yatzachinam and Kasef now is a good source for teaching us that Kiddushei Kesef are valid, and Kiddushei Kesef, when she's an Ara, goes to the father. But the question is, V'ham Yatzachinam l'hachi yudata, is that pasuk really used for that? Hamibayle l'chadetanyu of a brighter that uses that pasuk for a whole different thing, the tanya v'yatzachinam elu yimei bagrut. That's referring to leaving as a bogeret. In kesef, elu yimei na'arut. That means she leaves when she's a na'ara. Now remember, a na'ara is a girl who shows the first signs of puberty, simanim, and 6 months later, she becomes a bogeret. It's like an age. Now, Amar Ravina, im ken lemakra an kesef, or ein kesef without a yod. Ravina says that we find the word ein written without a yod. The fact that it's written here with a yod means there's two things we can learn from it. One is kedusha kesef lavia, and the other is na'arut and bagrut. We're going to look back at this drush in a minute. My ein kesef adon zel, yesh kesef adon acher. Good. Umaniu av. Umayda shin hachi, how do we know that ein with a yod allows us to make extra drushot? Tatanya v'zera ein la. If a Bat Kohen marries a Yisrael, and then he dies or divorces her, she comes back to her father's house. If she has no kids, she can eat truma. It says, Vizera Einla. What's the drasha? Einli ala zara. That's only true, I would think, if that's only if she has kids. Zera zara minayin. What if she has grandchildren? What if she had a kid who had a kid, and then her child died, so she has grandchildren? Taman loma zera einla, meaning ayenla. Look into it. Any sort of zera that she would have. Einli ala zara kasher, zera pasul minayin. What if she had a child outside of that marriage or whatever? Tamalomar zera einla, yainla. All right, that second half of the drush is kind of questionable. V'apikta lezera zara, you already used ayenla for grandchildren. The answer is zera zara lo itzarich kra. That I don't need. To be marim harin kevanim. Grandchildren are like children. That's not an issue. That's true about yibum. It's true about anything. Kitzarich kra lezera pasul. All right, we need the pasuk for zera pasul. Now, so in other words, we need this pasuk. For that, the answer is, therefore, we see that ein with a yod can give us two drashot. Ein is ayin. It's not only there's simple meaning she has no kids, but we look further. So the same thing, in our case, ein kesef gives us two different drashot. Ein kesef adon zeh, and also na'arut and bagrut. Now, how do we know that ein works that way? V'tana gufa menali didar shachi, how do we know that? Amri k'tiv me'ein Bilam. Bilam refuses to come. O me'ein yabmi. My yavam refuses to do yibum on me. Now the word lima'ein is a verb where the root is mem aleph nun, which means refuses. But they're darshing it as like me'ein, but he is not. Ein, he's not willing to be miyabem. Bilam's not willing to go. And they're seeing the lochtiv bahu yod. It's written without a yod. V'hachaktiv be'yod shvam nala drasha hudata. So that means they're saying that there is a way to write the word ein without a yod. If it's written with a yod, it leads to an extra drasha. That's an interesting orthographic discussion. Now, parenthetically, we have a question. Why does the Torah have to teach me that the kiddushin go to the father and that the wages go to the father? Both of those are mammon. So why do I need both? Ishkim kort bitol le'ama and v'yatzachinam in kasef. Said the ichat of Rachmana kiddusha le'aviyah. If the Torah only told me that her kiddushin go to her father, so I've made him mishum de lo tarchabu. I would think because she didn't work for it. So that's why it goes to the father, but her wages go to her. The stuff she worked for, she should be able to keep. That's what I would think. And if I was told that she keeps her wages, that the wages go to her father, to come zanamine, because her father's feeding her, and her wages go to him. Kiddushin come out of the blue. They come from some unknown source or unforeseeable source. So Ema Didahavu, maybe that goes to her, because after all, that's not something the father was banking on. He doesn't say, oh, my daughter makes this amount per week and I feed her this amount. So Tzricha, therefore we need both. Now parenthetically, we want to look back at Viatzachinim, Gufa. Viatzachinim, Bagrut, and Kesavadim in Narut. V'lichtov Rachmana Narut v'lobai Bagrut. Let the Torah just say Narut, and let's say one. And I don't need the other one, because after all, if she leaves as a Nara, certainly she'll leave as a Bogeret. So Amaraba Bazevli made Alzei. He said, I need both of them so that I will understand that the less likely one's also on the page. Right? Just Minir HaVeyatosh V'Sachir. The Torah says, and I added this in as a pasuk on the page, even though it's not in our Gemara, that a Kohen who purchases someone, Te'i Truma, but Toshav Kohen, Toshav V'Sachir, Lo Yochal Kodesh. Toshav Kohen V'Sachir, Lo Yochal Kodesh. A resident or a hired man of the Kohen does not eat Kodesh. And we understand that the Sachir is a regular Eved Ivri, who's not a Kohen. And the Toshav is an Eved Ivri who's Nirtzo, who's going to be there till Yovel. He's more part of the household. And we say, Toshav Zakanui Kinyan Olam. Sachir Zakanui Kinyan Shanim, as I just presented. Yomar Toshav Lo Yomar Sachir. Let the Torah just say a Toshav doesn't eat, and I'll know. Vani Yomar Kanui Kinyan Olam in Ochel Kanui Kinyan Shanim Lokol Shekain. If someone who's there till Yovel doesn't eat, certainly someone who's only there for 6 years doesn't eat. So Ilukein Aita Omer Toshav Zakanui Kinyan Shanim. If it only said Toshav, I would think, Toshav is a 6 year slave. Aval Kanui Kinyan Olam Ochel. But somebody who's there for 50 years does eat. So Bas Sachir V'Limed Al Toshav. Therefore, I needed Sachir to tell me that there's somebody who's less connected to the house and more connected to the house. And of course, then I have to say that even includes somebody who is near Tzos, there till Yovel. Shalvi Ganu Kinyan Olam in Ochel. Now that's Rava's take. Why you need Narut and Bagrut. Amalei Abaye Midami. Abaye says those are not analogous cases. Hatam Trei Gufininu. The Torah there is talking about two different kinds of guys. One's an Eved Ivri and one's an Eved Ivri near Tzos, who's going to be there till Yovel. Even if the Torah told you what a toshav was, it said nirtza, and then it said also a sachir doesn't eat. Then sachir would be something that I could have known via kal v'chomer, and there I apply the fallback rule. Sometimes the Torah will explicitly write something I could have figured out via kal v'chomer. That's a last resort answer. But here, the girl is one person. You say that every girl who's a Nara goes free, and every girl who's a Bogeret goes free. Well, if she's already left as a Nara, then how could she be in the house as a Bogeret? So, the Chinafka Lab Benarut Bagrut Mabayagabe. What is she doing there as a Bogeret? Ala Amra Abaye, so Abaye gives a different take. Lo Nitzrachai Ala Beger Da Ilanit. He said, you know what? This is there to tell you that if a girl was an Ilanit and never developed Simanim and then becomes a Bulgarit at whatever age we determine, 20 or whatever that age is, 35, then she goes free. Sa'al Kadai Tachamina Benaru Tipuk Benam Bagrut Lo Tipuk, because if I only had Viatzachinam, only one phrase, I would have said she goes out because of Simanim. If she doesn't have Simanim, she never goes out. Therefore, I need the two phrases to tell me that, independently of physical development, a certain age will also free her. So, Matkar Rashi, our Rashi challenges, Lav Kav HaChomer, who think about this. Isn't it obvious that a Bulgaret's going to go free? Think about the following. When a girl develops Simanim, she's still under her father's domain. But Simanim do free her from a master, which means it's easier to get out from your master than from your father. So Bagrut, which does liberate her from her father, when she's a Bogeret, she's independent. And Odin Shemotziyam Meshut Adon, certainly she'll leave her master. He said, really the Pasuk is there to tell me that you could have a Bogeret who was an Ilanit, and the sale is not retroactively quashed. Because I would have thought, if she brings simanim, then that means it was a good sale. Because remember, the original sale of an amavriya may be directed towards ultimately marrying either the master or his son, as the Torah provides. So it could be that if she turns out to be an islandite, the whole sale could be a mekachtos. I might argue that if she doesn't ever develop simani narut, then the sale is no good. Right, Kamash Milan. Therefore, I need Viatzachinam to tell me that a Bogeret also goes out, which means a Bogeret who never became a Nara is also in the scheme. But wait a second. What was his challenge? His challenge was, why would the Torah tell me something that's a Kal v'chomer? We say that sometimes the Torah will write something that's a Kal v'chomer. The answer is, that's only if we have no better answer. But of course, if there's a better answer and explain why the Torah wrote this particular Kal v'chomer, then we will prefer that. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll pick up at the main drasha of Kesef Shtar and Bia, and where we get those from in the Psukim, from the Sifri, on Daf Dalet Amud Bet in the next podcast. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day.